You glad you're saved tonight? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. And trusting that everyone's saved, but there is someone that's not. Our prayer is that the sweet Holy Spirit would confirm that to you by the time we leave and lead you to Jesus. Let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to the New Testament book of Colossians, chapter number 3. Colossians chapter number 3. We're going to finish up from this morning, and we feel the Lord would have us do so. In Colossians chapter number 3, verse number 17 is our text verse. Colossians 3 and verse number 17. Father, we come in Jesus' name one more time before we do our best to complete the sermon you've put upon our heart for this Sunday. Pray that you'd add your blessing to it. Let us all be changed as a result from it. We love you, and we praise you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Colossians chapter number 3. In verse 17, the Bible says, "And whatsoever ye do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus." Just like the song we just sang. In the name of Jesus. Giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. We started a sermon this morning entitled, "By His Grace and for His Glory." And we got that from verse number 17 because there's two phrases where I believe that that phrase, or that title, is wrapped up in. Notice in verse number 17, he says, "Whatsoever ye do." Then he says, "Do all in the name of the Lord Jesus." The "whatsoever ye do" is referring to, but not limited to, the responsibilities in this chapter. And he talks about in this chapter our own personal walk with the Lord. He talks about, in this chapter, our relationship with our brothers and sisters in Christ as God's elect. He talks about our household relationships as wife and husband, parentally as parents, and in a civil matter as well, being a servant. And we believe that the "whatsoever ye do" has to do, but not limited to, all of those things. Then he says, "Do all in the name of the Lord Jesus." And we believe that that could refer to two things. Number one, it can refer to His grace or His power. Everything that we do, we need to do in the power of His grace. As I said this morning, and I'll say again this evening, that the arm of the flesh will let us down every time. We may think that we have learned our flesh. We may think that we know how to beat the flesh. But if we're not spending time with God, and we're not giving Him appropriate time and a quiet time daily, then we'll find ourselves in a defeated position. But he says, "In the name of the Lord Jesus." It refers to being by His grace. Whatsoever you do in the name of Jesus, by His grace, by His power. But also that means, and it can refer to, His honor or His glory. And so, whatsoever you do, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, by His grace and for His glory. And this morning we started looking at some things, three things in this chapter. Let me say this before we go any further, that that statement, "by His grace and for His glory," ought to be the driving force in our life. Behind everything that we say and do, it ought to be by His good grace, leaning on Him, taking His yoke upon us and learning what works and what don't work. And so we ought to do that, and for His glory. This morning we looked at number one, by His grace and for His glory, we follow Jesus. We're not going to re-preach in its entirety these first two points, but I do want to mention a couple things and move on. In verse number one of chapter three, the Bible says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God." And then verse 2 says, "Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth." And we spent some time this morning in verse number 2 where he says, "Set your affection." We looked at the word set, which means to exercise. And the word affection means interest. And we all could testify, I'm sure, tonight to keep our affection set upon the Lord every day. It is a spiritual exercise. And not to allow ourselves to be caught up with the things of the earth. It's a spiritual exercise to set our affection upon the Lord and to seek those things which are above. We went on and we said in verse number 5, this is done by mortification. The word mortify in verse number 5 means to put to death. It means to deaden. And so the way that we successfully set our affection on things above and our interest from the things of the world on things above is through death. Death to self. Surrender from the things that we think we delight in that are not good for us. Things that hold us back. Things that set us back. I believe it's in the book of Hebrews in chapter number 12. In verse number 1, it talks about laying aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. And then verse number 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And he concludes with fixing our eyes upon Jesus. But he also starts in Hebrews 12, 1 with laying aside some things. And tonight, we have to be about laying aside things that are not good for us. It's an exercise. No one here is casting stones and no one here is judging, but we're just simply reading the scriptures and trying to rightly divide how we can successfully focus on God and forge ahead. And so we do that. The Bible says in verse number 5, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. We mentioned the word members. The word members means limbs. And it has to do with the things that we're attached to and things that we carnally enjoy that we shouldn't. If my right hand offends thee, the Bible says, cut it off. If my eye offends me, pluck it out. And so sometimes in life there has to be the setting aside of things. There has to be that fortification built in our life to successfully, by His grace and for His glory, move forward. And so we mentioned following Jesus by His grace and for His glory. But then we mentioned in verse number 12, by His grace and for His glory, we fellowship with man. Look what he says in verse number 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved. And he mentions some things. In verse number 12, he mentions inward things. Verse number 13, he mentions outward things. He talks about bowels of mercies in verse number 12. Kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. And this has to do with the people of God, our relationship within the church. He says that there to be the exercise of some things on the inside. Bowels of mercies, which the word bowels there means spleen. Has to do with that body part on the inside that fights bacteria. And so he says bowels of mercies because mercy can conquer a lot of things in a church. Mercy can conquer a lot of things in life. And it was through the mercy of God that covered a multitude of sins. But we also mentioned that sometimes if we're not careful, we can be a little too merciful and start to tolerate bad behavior. So there comes a point in time where there's a specific time where mercy should be applied. but not to the certain extent or the extreme degree where we are enablers of someone in their negative lifestyle. So he says, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. These are inward things. And then verse number 13 are outward things. Things that, if they're taking place on the inside, will be apparent on the outside. Verse 13, forbearing one another, meaning to put up with. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. These are outward things. Inwardly things. Outwardly reflections. And these things has to do with fellowshipping with the brethren. By His grace and for His glory, we can do that. By His grace, for His glory, we can follow Jesus. But then tonight, we want to spend a little time with our last point, and that is, by His grace and for His glory, we can fulfill our roles in life. Notice, if you would, in verse number 18. We kind of mentioned a couple of these this morning, but I like to back up and go over them again, and then we'll be through here in just a few moments. But in verse number 18, in verse number 19, we can fulfill our roles maritally by His grace for His glory. Verse number 18 says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. I want to say that first of all, when it comes to marriage, there's at least a threefold purpose given by God. Number one, or a threefold marital picture given by God. Number one, it pictures, or the goal is to picture one unit. Not this one here and not that one there, but the goal is for there to be such a unification between husband and wife is that when you see one, you see the other. Same in purpose. Same in drive, same in passion. In fact, in the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter number 5 and verse number 31, notice what the Bible says in Ephesians 5 and verse number 31. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they too shall be one flesh. They too shall be one. And we all, those of us that are married, know that this takes a lifetime to accomplish. We have husband here and we have wife here, and they're bringing both their lives together for the goal of being one life. There are the husband's set of the family. There's the wife's set of the family. Somebody said one time, I'm not married to her family. Yeah, you are. Yeah, you are. He said, I ain't married. They're not my family. Yeah, they are. Oh, yeah, they are. You see, there has to be a unification. And if a person loves, if a husband loves their wife, the wife loves their husband, then there's going to be the effort to love their families. So we see that there's to be one unit here. Says, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and they or shall be and shall be joined unto his wife, and they too shall be one flesh. And so we see that this picture is a marriage. The goal is to picture one person. But then also there's positions in marriage. Positions. There's the wife and there's the husband. We see in verse number 18 that the wife's position is that of submission. Look at verse number 18. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. We see that their role is for submission. Now look at the husbands. Verse number 19, husbands, love your wives. And be not bitter against them. Just stay with me for a moment. Now, it says, husbands, love your wives. Wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands. Keep in mind, this is a goal we're moving toward, going from 2 to 1. We said this morning that the word love in verse number 19 is the word for agape, which means God's love. There's three different loves in the Bible. There's eros, which has to do with an affatuation. It's only skin deep. It's a sexual, an intimate kind of love. But then there's the phileo type of love. That's the love you have for a pal or a buddy, two friends. They have a love for one another, phileo. But then there's agape. And agape is the kind of love that Jesus shed on Mount Calvary. Unconditional love. Nothing in return, but everything for us. And we see that the Bible says, husbands, love your wives unconditionally. I want to say something about our wives in this role. The wife was given to husbands to be helpers. And I want to say tonight that I feel this way, and every man should feel this way about their wife, that I feel like I have the best helpmate in the world. She helps me. She backs me. She is precious to me. And I love her unconditionally. Now, are there times where the flesh tries to put conditions? Sure. Well, I ain't going to do this for you. You didn't do this for me. There are times through this process of two becoming one where you learn buttons. And so this is an elimination time where you learn, the man learns to love conditionally as God has wanting us to learn, as He wants us to love our wives. That's the goal, is to love unconditionally. And I say that that's my goal, is to love her unconditionally. Now, in Ephesians, back in the book of Ephesians, chapter number 5, I want you to notice something about the unconditional love a husband should have. Verse number 25 says, husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Verse number 28 says, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it even as the Lord of the church. The goal, and one of the goals in a man loving his wife, is for everything he does for himself that nourishes him, he ought to be thinking about her. The man that nourishes and cherishes, what is my schedule like today? Well, I wonder what my wife's schedule's like today. What am I having for lunch today? I wonder if my wife has lunch money for lunch today. Well, I'm just not feeling well. I think I might be under the weather. I wonder if my wife might be under the weather. Listen, the love of a husband to have toward his wife is to be that of unconditionality, if that's a word. It's to be unconditional. Love our wives as God loves our wives, as He loves the church and gave Himself for it. Here's the problem, is when a man or a woman is not fulfilling their role, or one is and one is not, that will throw an imbalance in the home. Notice, if you would, again in Colossians 3 and verse number 18. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Of course, the ultimate purpose is for the Lord. Verse number 19, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. This is the goal intended. If a husband is to love his wife unconditionally, think about her as he's thinking about himself, there will not be trouble for that wife to submit to her husband's leadership. That's just how it is. It's a harmony. But if you have a wife that's not submitting, or you have a husband that's not loving, then you have problems in the home. And listen, we haven't even got to verse number 20 yet. when there's children involved. And so wives are to submit. Let me say this about a wife and her submission. This is divine order. As it is fit, the Bible says. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord or proper in the Lord. This is a divine mandate from wives to submit to their husbands. Eve, the first woman, came from man, from his side. And so a wife is to be by her husband's side, but not under her husband's feet. It's a relationship. It is a love they're going after. And also I would say this, that this by a woman being submissive to her husband joyfully is the goal. But joyfully, this is an ornament of the woman's godliness. Sometimes it's hard to joyfully submit, I'm sure. But a woman, you show me a woman, a wife that is submitting to her husband. She was doing it because God mandated her to do it. And it's an ornament of godliness in her life. There's a lot of women that are facing battles tonight because they don't have the help that they need at home. But I want to say for the wife that is submitting and trying to submit, that is a beautiful ornament of your godliness, and continue to do that. Continue to pursue that role. But then it says, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. And so when a husband loves their wife unconditionally, it's no problem for the wife to submit. But then there's even the times where a husband does love their wives unconditionally. And there is no submission from the wife. Listen, that's why I'll say this. Number one, that is why it is so important to know who you're going to marry. Know her family. Know her faith. Know her background. Be sure that God... Listen, I don't even believe in dating. I do not believe in dating unless you are dating to marry. And I have a tween right now. And I know that day's coming. And I'll say this, that if you date, it ought to be dating with intention. If you got a boyfriend, got a girlfriend, and this is just my stance, my conviction. If you're not dating with purpose and you got just a boyfriend, got a girlfriend, with no intention for the future, guess what's going to happen? You're going to slip if you're not careful. You're going to get in a situation where it's dark, mom and dad's away, and you're just dating. Because if you were thinking about marriage, you would have guidelines and guardrails in your relationship. So many people, when it comes to knowing who you're dating, even before marriage, they fall into this trap of being in the midst of temptation, and then they have relations, sexual relations, and kids are involved. And then, listen, things happen. And I just like the movie, what's it called, about the lady in abortion, and she didn't do it. I don't know what I'm trying to say. Unexpected, or there is nothing catches God by surprise, what I'm trying to say. Although it may have been a bad decision and something like that happened, nothing catches God by surprise. And so we're not saying that there's not no life after that. But all of this goes back to what a husband and a wife and their roles are to be. They're to be one flesh. Be serious who you're dating, because it can show up in the marriage if you do get married. And we can go on and on. There's so many different angles you can look at this tonight. But nonetheless, by His grace and for His glory, wives, you can be the wife God wants you to be. Men, by His grace and for His glory, you can be the husband that God wants you to be. Amen. And so we see we were to fulfill our roles maritally. But then in verse number 20, we're to fulfill our roles, and we can, by His grace, for His glory, parentally. He says in verse number 20, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. And I want to read verse number 21 with it. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Now, I wanted to read those together for a purpose, just like I read wives and husbands together, is because I see that there's a goal in mind. Children are called to a life of obedience while under their parents' roof. The Bible says, children, obey. Obey your parents in all things. And obey means and can have the expectation of respect for authority. It begins in the home. It begins with obeying your parents. Simple obedience over time. It creates a healthy respect for authority. How many people are in jail tonight because they have a problem with authority? The jails are full with people who have no respect for authority. Well, I'm just going to do what I want to do in spite of what mom and dad says. Well, it just don't feel good to go to church, and it just don't feel good. We're living in a feel-good generation where if it don't feel good, we're not going to do it. And I go back to relationship between wife and husband, because if those things are correct and they are in alignment with God and going to church and praying and having a relationship with the Lord and considering one another, there's love from the husband, there's submission from the wife, that's going to be only natural to trickle down to the kids. And then, children, obey your parents in all things. It's much more easier for a child to obey when both parents are one in discipline. I'll say it again. It's much easier. You will receive better results of child rearing when both parents are eye to eye with discipline. If mother does all the discipline and daddy's the refuge, come on, baby, come over here, baby. It's okay. It's okay. Don't ask me how I know that. So, hey, I have to live up. This is my exercise too. It's an imbalance. It's an imbalance. There's going to be an imbalance for authority if they know that papa or dad is the refuge and mother is a disciplinarian. And listen, in a relationship, typically, there's the nurturer and the disciplinarian. But that gets me down to verse number 21. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. What I see in verse number 21 is a heavy hand, but not a humble heart. What I see in verse number 21 is a child that cannot live up to mom or dad's expectations. He just said, fathers, provoke not your children to anger. Why? Why can't we just raise our kids with, thou shalt not, and listen, I'm not knocking that. But it has to be balanced with love. It has to be balanced with praise. If the only time that you approach your child, the only time I approach Lily is when she's done wrong. Honey, you didn't get as high as grade as I wanted you to on that test. Okay, Dad, I'm sorry. I'll do better. A couple A's go by, and I don't say nothing about them A's. Another back. Honey, you didn't do good on that test. A couple A's go get by me. A couple A's, I see them, but I don't. Honey, I'm telling you, what's going to happen through the years, she's going to grow up feeling like she can never measure up to anybody. She's going to walk with her head low. She's going to not have any self-confidence. But, Daddy, I didn't make a good grade on that. Honey, just do better next time. Oh, that's an A. Praise the Lord. I'm so proud of you. Here comes an F. Well, what happened here, honey? Well, I just let it get by me. Well, let's really anchor down, do better next time. Another F. Okay, I'm serious. It's okay. You know, it's going to be a long school year. Let's just do more reading and studying this week. Here comes an A. Oh, that's excellent. Here comes a D. Let's work on it. Here comes a B. That's excellent. You see that? That's balance. Over here, an F. I can't believe you did that. You know better. You're better than that. A couple A's. Choo-choo. A couple B's. Choo-choo. Another F, honey, or D, a C. What's going on? And as this one over here, she's going to grow up. I can't never measure up to what daddy wants, his standards. But over here, oh, my daddy was strict. But I know for sure my daddy loved me. Because when I was wrong, he told me. And when I did right, he praised me. This is the goal in the home. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, lest they be discouraged. We don't want no more prodigals leaving home and thinking that the world will give better refuge. And listen, that's happening each and every day. There is a people out here that has drugs. I've referred to drugs and alcohol lately. Listen, that whatever kind of crowds out there that's anti-church and anti-God, they are ready and willing to embrace your child if you let them. There's an internet that is lively. I use internet, but it's protected internet. And there's internet, and there's Facebook, and there's Instagram, and there's all that kind of stuff, and there's predators out there who are disguising themselves as being interested in your child. Listen, we have to be so careful not only to discipline our kids, but to praise our kids. Take them out for ice cream every once in a while. Don't take a whole lot. It don't take a whole lot. A little bit goes a long way. So, he says here, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. And so, whatever is well-pleasing unto the Lord, children are to do that. Where we have a problem is also in the home is when parents try to give wrong advice, try to give worldly counsel, or it's okay to stay out all night. It's okay to drink. It's okay to do it. It's okay not to go to church. It's okay to curse. It's okay to do these things. And that leaves a child in a position of confusement. They're confused. And that's the breakdown of the American home, you see, is when it starts with husband and wife. And then, but children are to obey their parents in all things that are pleasing to the Lord. And then we drop down and we see verse number 20, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Talking about by His grace, for His glory, maritally, by His grace, for His glory, parentally, and then lastly, by His grace and for His glory, civilly. Look in verse number 22. Servants, obey in all things your masters, according to the flesh, not with eye service, as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. You see, we can, by His grace, for His glory, fulfill this role of a servant. There's many different, or at least a couple different aspects of this servant here, a bond servant, a servant in Bible days who served their master. And listen, some of them servants had it pretty good back then. It wasn't a drudgery for many of them. Philemon, or Onesimus rather, he had a good job being a servant to Philemon. But it says, and it has to do with those in superiority. Servants, obey in all things your masters. Superior in authority. We can trickle that right down to the workplace. Wherever you're possibly working for someone. even when you're under someone's roof, as children would be under parents being raised. But yet there is a superior to you. There is a master to you. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. But then he says, not with eye service, as men pleasers. In other words, the only time that servant is doing right is when the boss is looking at him. The boss is looking at you. How's things going this week? Oh, I'm working. I'm sweeping. I'm on a surfboard, you know. Boss leaves. Whew. Thank God that old geezer's gone. I'm getting back on this phone right here. That's being a men pleaser. That's eye service. That's eye service. But it says, servants obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. You work for who you work for because God got you the job, but then you work the job because of who you're really working for, and that is God. And when you focus on working for God in anything you do, whatsoever you do, do all in the name of the Lord. Whatsoever it is, you don't focus on that boss or that master. You focus on God. And this has a singleness of heart effect. You ain't got to worry about working one minute and not working next minute. You ain't got to worry about politics at the work job. You ain't got to worry about this one got a raise, you didn't get a raise. You know why? Because God is your ultimate employer. And you focus on Him with singleness of heart, by His grace and for His glory. And you'll be surprised at what that will take care of in your life. Focusing on Him. Just like the blinders on the horse. We're not worried about this over here. We're not worried about that. We have blinders on. We're focused on Christ, and He's our motivation. He's our power. It's all for His glory. So tonight we can fulfill our roles civilly. We can fulfill our roles parentally, maritally. And I didn't write this one down, but in conclusion, chapter number 4 and verse number 1 deals with the boss man. Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. If ever boss, ever associate boss, would read that verse and fall under conviction that they will stand before the number one boss and give an account, that would affect their bossing, that they will give an account. And so he says, masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal. Bosses and leaders aren't to show partiality, but they're to give what's right, because there's coming a day when they're going to stand and be judged. It's amazing what the Bible will take care of tonight. It will take care of everything. I'm going to come tonight. We'll, by His grace and for His glory, is the two-part message for today. I just want to say that whatsoever we do, again, it's not confined totally to this chapter. Anything we do, whatsoever we do, let's do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Do it in His strength. Do it for His honor. I mean, all of our roles, our ins and our outs in life, if we do that, if that is the driving force, we will be surprised at what will take care of itself because our focus is correct. Heavenly Father, we come tonight with a thankful heart. Lord, I trust Your word went out, Lord, with a sense of compassion and challenge, but yet I pray that truth was heard. I've done my best to rightly divide and preach it straight with compassion. Lord, these are spiritual exercises. None of us have came to the place of perfection yet. Even Paul says so. Help us all tonight forget those things which are behind. Reach forth unto those things which are before, and help us to continue to press toward the mark of the prize, We all have a calling. Help us operate it out of it for your honor and your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand to our feet tonight. And if you need to come and pray, you come and pray. Start the week out the right way.
Have thine own way, Lord.
Anybody else tonight?
Have thine own way. Thou art the potter.
Come and do your business before Monday comes.
I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still.
Altar's still open. It's not too late. Come on.
Have thine own way. Have thine own way. Search me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now. As in thy presence, humbly I bow.
Still have a couple on the altar. We're going to keep on singing. Just come tonight if you need to come. We're not twisting and pulling any arms, but like a song says, if we tarry till we're better, we'll never come at all. The best time to come, if you need to come, is right now. Praise or problems, you come.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Hold o'er my absolute sway. Fill with thy spirit till all shall see Christ only, always live.
Well, it's been good to be here today, and trust you've enjoyed the music from the choir, and I hope you got something from God's Word today. And let's just pray for one another, lift one another up in prayer. If you say you don't have anything to pray about, pick up one of the bulletins. There's plenty in there. Remember that. Remember those who've sent loved ones home to heaven. Remember their families. Remember surgeries. Remember those with cancer. And we'll just remember one another in prayer. Anything else to mention tonight? Amen. Amen, brother. Marriage should reflect the Trinity. All three separate offices, but one person. Thank you, brother. Okay, if that's all, we'll be dismissed in a word of prayer, and everyone have a blessed and safe week this week. Brother Harold Dolph, would you close us out?